So I do want to speak with you briefly this morning about baptism. Next Sunday and the following Sunday, I'll be wrapping up our sermon series entitled Black and White, where we're talking about essential matters of faith. If we say we're Christians, if we say we're a person of faith, there's some things we should be awesome at and that we should have a clear understanding of. And so for the next 2 weeks, not today, but for the next 2 weeks in August, we'll be talking about demons and angels, what they can and cannot do, how they assist and how they hinder people of faith, and also heaven and hell. What does the Bible say about those very real places? They are not metaphors, they are not analogies, they are realities. And so we'll be wrapping up that summer series over the next 2 weeks. But today, I wanted to talk with you about baptism. And here's kind of the big idea behind baptism, what we are celebrating today. God has made something possible that as individuals, we are able to make personal, that as a church, we make public. Did you catch that? God has made something possible, salvation, that we as individuals take very personally. We make a decision of faith. And then as a church, we celebrate those decisions publicly. And of course, that's what we're doing today. I have a verse that I'd like to share with you. Some people call this the gospel of Jesus Christ in one verse, and it has a lot to do with baptism. It's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, and I'll just read it for you. Here's what the verse says. Therefore, we were buried with him, with Jesus Christ, by baptism into death. Baptism is a picture of dying to our sinful old ways and coming alive again to live to God, in order that, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. It's a gospel in a verse. We die to our sins, we're raised to life, we're something different. Today we're wet, we're splooshy, we drip, we leave a trail everywhere we go. It's obvious that something has happened. And then we walk in accordance with the reality of our baptism. So God has made something possible that we take personal, that the church then celebrates publicly. There's an interesting command in the Bible that I think helps illustrate this idea of the essential obedience and a correct response to something that God has made possible. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And of course, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And we know that that is the first commandment that is given with a promise. And that is something that we have probably all chafed against at different times. But the bottom line is, why does the Bible command that we are to honor our moms and our dads and to obey our moms and our dads just because there are moms and our dads? And the answer is because they made something possible, which was you and me. And so out of simple acknowledgement of the fact that our parents made something possible, which was our existence, the Bible says whether you agree with your mom and your dad or whether you disagree with your mom and dad, the biblical command stated in the Old Testament, repeated in the New, is very simple. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, or honor your father and your mother. And that is out of simple obedience to the fact that they made something possible, which is your existence. And so when it comes to baptism, God has made something possible, which is salvation. He doesn't need anything, and yet he chose to create this world and those of us who have been blessed with existence. And out of obedience to his command that all would come to know him and worship him, we understand his salvation. And we're hopefully obedient to his command to be saved, to recognize and to worship the Lord as our God. And so we see that God makes something possible. And like we are to be obedient to our parents because they brought us into existence, we are to be obedient to the call to salvation because God has made something possible for us that without him would simply not be possible. Our response to the good news about Jesus Christ is to be personal. There came a time when you looked at that young lady or you looked at that young man and in your mind, a decision was made. And it went from, that's my girlfriend, that's my boyfriend, to that's the mother of my children. That's the father of my children. That is my husband. That is my wife. And it got real personal right there. It went from, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend, that's my person I like to hang out with and go on coffee dates with, to that's my husband, that's my wife, that's the parent of my children. And so then we made decisions of faith in accordance with that realization, that that's mine. These speakers this past week, we loaned them to Camp Monadnock up in New Hampshire. And for the past 2 weeks, they've been pumping out sound for 300 students for the past 2 weeks. and they were there to help the existing sound system that was in the chapel. So when I went Friday morning to go back up to the camp in New Hampshire to pick up the speakers, I only had one question. Did our speakers survive the active camp lifestyle for the past 2 weeks of all the singing and the dancing and the running around and some of the crazy behavior that can happen at camp? I did not care about the speakers to the left. I did not care about the speakers to the right. I cared about my speakers because I knew I had a church service coming up on Sunday. And so it is when our response to the gospel, we hear about the goodness of God that is available through salvation. And we hear about it, and we hear about it, and we hear about it, and we hear about it. And then one day we realize that it's not just the gospel. It's not just the good news about God and sending his son, Jesus Christ, to do something for us that we could not do, which is make the perfect price to settle the penalty of our debts, of our sin. We know that there have been times where we've disappointed ourselves and others, and there's nothing we can do to make that essentially right. And then it becomes the gospel, and then it becomes my gospel. It becomes our gospel. And we make a decision of faith. God makes something possible that we then make personal. That's my boyfriend. That's my girlfriend. That's my wife. That's my husband. They are the parent of my children. That belongs to me. They are in a special category. I don't care so much about what's to the left. I don't care so much about what's to the right. I care about what is mine, that I have called mine by a decision of faith. And so our response to the gospel, as we will see this morning, is personal. It's very personal. God has made salvation possible. We make salvation personal. And then finally this morning, our response to the gospel is public. It's funny, and we all go through this time as children, where there's this second switch that we make, where we start thinking about things in our life. We're thinking about things that we have to do, things that we got to do, either to keep our parents happy or sometimes to keep our spouses happy or to keep authority figures in our life happy. We think about things that we should be doing, ought to be doing, have to do. And then a switch comes. And this happens in our decision of faith too, where we stop thinking about certain things as obligations, but we think about them as privileges. And we stop thinking, do I have to go to church on Sunday? It might rain, it might be muggy, there might be bugs, there might be a turtle in the water. And we think about, do I get to go to church on Sunday? And if you're wondering if baptism is for you, if you're wondering, you know, I've made some decisions of faith, I've been thinking about things of faith, and Josh, what you're talking about, God making something possible, I think I've made it personal. I don't know if I'm ready to make it public. A question you can ask yourself is, how do you feel about your faith? Is it something that you should do or ought to do? Or is it something that you get to do because you realize the privilege that it truly is? When it comes to ministry, when it comes to baptism, when it comes to tithes and offerings, when it comes to celebrating our times together, at some point as Christians, we stop thinking, I ought to and I want to. I have to and I get to. And so this morning, you don't have to be baptized. It's not a matter of salvation. The Bible makes it very clear that a decision of faith in a conversation with the Lord that is followed with a repentant Christian lifestyle is evidence of salvation. You don't have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. The scripture does not teach that. You get to. You don't have to be married in a church with a white dress and a black tux in front of all your friends and family. You can get married in other ways. It's perfectly valid marriage. It's legal. You get to. Because it's a celebration. It's an acknowledgement of a personal decision that you choose to make public because you have found it to be a tremendous source of joy and assurance of your salvation and your faith. And so I'm going to ask the Janos to come on back up here. Thank you so much, Alex and Sarah and Vince. And of course, Matt was on the cajon this morning. We're very grateful that we were able to have some music for you. And these guys have one final song for us that we're going to sing together. I'm going to pray. And then for those of us that are either baptizing someone or are being baptized, we're going to make our way down to the water's edge. And please take your cell phone and your remote car starter out of your pocket. I already had to check a couple of times because it's so easy to leave that in. It's not going to work out for you well. So make sure your pockets are empty. And we'll those of us that are being part of the baptism service, we're going to have a brief moment of prayer while you guys are singing. And then once the song is concluded, I just ask you to join us down by the water's edge. And we'll have our folks that are going to be baptized. And then we're going to go ahead and get our grill fired up and have hamburgers and hot dogs. And I know it's not the sunniest beach day that we've ever experienced. However, the Lord has provided this time. And more so than the sun, time with you guys is kind of what we really want. The sun is nice, but time with you guys is absolutely precious and valuable. So we hope that you're able to stay around as long as you'd like to. And we'll feed you lunch. We have some other fun stuff going on over here as well. So I'm going to wrap up this message. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of our time. And then we will have our baptisms. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to be in a place where you have provided. You provide for us every week. And we didn't need a ceiling this morning because you provided the cover that we needed. And we thank you so much for holding off the rain for just a few moments so that we could give you honor and praise in an orderly fashion. Father, we thank you for the decisions of faith that have been made privately, that are going to be made publicly this morning. Father, we pray that if there are any here this morning that would like to make a decision of faith, would like to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they would just simply pray along with me right now. It's very simple. Heavenly Father, I know that I've done things that have displeased you, myself, and others. I turn from those things. I walk away from those things. I'm not going to return to those things. I ask that you fill me with the presence of your Holy Spirit as assurance of my salvation. Father, I pray that you bring men and women into my life that can encourage me and cause me to grow. And Father, I pray that I would find a church fellowship, whether it be River Church or one closer to home, where we could be involved on a week-by-week basis. Father, I pray that people have made private decisions of faith this morning as we've made that opportunity possible. We know that when your word is proclaimed publicly, it does not come back void. We have planted seeds of faith here this morning that will produce a crop, according to your word, 5, 10, 50, and 100-fold. And we pray, Father, that we will be blessed to see it. Thank you for those men and women this morning who have made decisions of faith, who have understood the possibility of salvation and have made that decision to make it personal. And this morning, it is our joy. We get to make it public. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.